You've all gone very quiet all of a sudden, so good morning and welcome to Newbury Baptist Church. It's lovely to see you this morning. Special welcome to David Taylor from Thatcham Baptist Church. It's lovely to have you back with us, David. This afternoon at 4:15, we have open house. Lots of fun for families with younger children. We'd love to see you at that, and it'll be lots of fun, well worth your coming. So look forward to you coming to that later on. Now, not next Sunday, but the Sunday after that, we have the Mahon family with us. We pray regularly for the Mahon family. If you've ever written a Paddington postcard, it's gone to them out in Peru. They'll be with us, not next Sunday, but the Sunday afterwards, and we'll have coffee and, I hope, cake. That was a little hint there. Coffee and cake after the service, and we can mingle with them and spend a little bit of time with them. Alex Tame asked me to let you know that his mum's funeral is at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning at East Garston Church. I appreciate not many of you will be able to go, but all of those of you can pray, please would you do so. And I know Alex is taking part in that service and would value your prayers very much. Now, unfortunately, when we welcomed some new people into membership last week, we couldn't welcome Carl because he was poorly. So I think we ought to put that right this morning. Out you come, Carl. It's not going to attempt to lift you onto the platform or anything. But wonderful. Well, it was lovely to baptise you a couple of weeks ago. And now it's lovely to welcome you properly into the church, of which you've been a part for a long time, but now it's formal. Welcome to you. Let's pray for Carl, shall we? Father, we thank you for Carl and all he means to us. We thank you for the light of Christ that we see in him. And we pray that as a member of this church, he would be a blessing to many and be blessed by many. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Carl. All right. Now, for the first Sunday in 3 weeks, we don't have the cement mixer at the front here. That's because we have taken it away and counted its contents, and I want to tell you about that. Forgive me if I'll read this. That's partly because I'm quite emotional about it, and partly because I want to be sure of what I say. So let me read this to you. Thank you to all who responded with such generosity and enthusiasm to our pledge days on May the 5th and 12th. Pledges for both one-off and ongoing giving amount to £500,000 with gift aid. Together with the projected sale of the Valley Road Manse and designated reserves in the bank, this now means that we have just over £1 million. This is a great start and sets us on the journey of faith to see the whole project come together. Some of the aspirations on your lovely gift tags about bringing praise to God and showing our love to Newbury and showing our love to the next generation all start from here. With this figure in hand, we can now approach grant awarding bodies and charities to see what they will contribute. The giving is not over for us, not by a long way. For now, though, we need to be praying that God will unleash funds from those other sources. Meanwhile, watch this space for how and when your pledges will need to be paid in. These are exciting times for Newbury Baptist Church, and I count it as a real privilege to be here for such a time as this. So thanks to God and thank you to you. Let's stand up ready to worship God, shall we? And listen to these words. Declared, actually, at the end of a building project by Nehemiah. This is what he said. Blessed be your glorious name, and may it be exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and all their starry host, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you.
yours with all our empty hands. Find the riches of his grace. Over all the world his people sing. Shore to shore we hear them call. The truth that cries from every age. Our God is all in all. Church of Christ, rejoice. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise him. He is exalted, forever exalted, and I will praise his name. He is the Lord, forever his truth shall reign. Exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise him. He is exalted, forever exalted, and I will praise his name. He is the Lord, forever his truth shall reign.
You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Your infinite wisdom, who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand. Thank you.
Father, for your extraordinary generosity, both through and to your people, we give you our thanks for all your good gifts to us. Father, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Do please sit down. Now, obviously the cement mixer's not here. It's done its job for the time being. But what is here that we haven't seen for a long time? Something up here on the platform. It's not one of the boxes. Yeah. It's the prayer bag. Somebody said to me the other day, we haven't seen the prayer bag for a long time, which was absolutely true. So I got it here. Now, I have actually cheated a little bit with this. So come and have a look. If you want to see how I've cheated, come and have a look. And then I'm going to need your help in a minute. See, I heard all about how you guys had done your praying in Chatterbox last week. I thought it was so brilliant. I thought everybody should have a go at that. So look what I've got in here. Look. Loads of those. Now, can I ask you to help me? I want quite a lot of the adults to have these as well. Can you each take a bunch and give them to some adults and then come back here and help me with the praying? All right, yeah, grab some and take them. Go and see if you can give them to somebody. Make sure you've got enough for everybody to take some round. There we are. There's some, you're going to take some to somebody for me? So, and then when you've done that, come back to me. Do you want one, Fern? There you go, look. Do you want one? Do you want one? No, okay. I'm just too scary. Okay. Do come back, won't you? Because I only just about know what I'm doing with this. You're going to help me. Have you all got one? Oh, yeah, get some up there as well. See, these are not only brilliant and colourful, but I got them with 70% off in the office outlet closing down sales. That's even better. Can't resist a bargain. Right. Okay, bring them back here and pop them in the bag. If there's any spare, make sure you keep one for yourself, all right? Brilliant. You've got one? You can choose a colour? Excellent. Stuff those in the bag. You choose one for yourself. Stuff that in there for me. And you choose yourself one. Which colour are you going to have? Okay. So, I'm going to show you some different ways of praying, and these guys are going to copy me because they actually know more about it than I do. And then with each one, just pause for a little quiet minute. And you can pray to God. So the first one, I want you to make either a letter or a shape that reminds you of a particular person. Now, I'm thinking of a friend of mine called Henry. So I've made an H. Okay, looks more like an M. There we are. There's an H. So can you do that? Can you make a letter or a shape that reminds you of a person that you want to pray for? Have a little go at that now. Remember, it only needs to make sense to you, so it doesn't have to be brilliant. You want to join it up? Okay. Oops. Okay, let's do that. And once you've made it, just hold it in your hand for a minute and say a silent little prayer for that person. That's what I'm going to do for Henry right now. Okay. Now straighten it out. Now, this is where it gets messy. because there's lots of places in the world that are a big fat mess at the moment. Lots of countries that are a big mess. I'm thinking of the Yemen. Terrible things there. So I want you to scrumple that up in your hand. Look, make a big mess of it. And then hold your messy pipe cleaner in your hand like that. Squidge it all up hard as you can. Oh, that's a good one. That's one really tiny, your one now. And then hold that in your hand. And again, we're going to be quiet for a second. Let's pray for that messed up place. Okay, straighten out again. Now, this is where it gets slightly more interesting. Because what I want you to do, which I'll start up this end, I want you to join it to the person next to you. So, all you've got to do is just twist the two ends around each other. So, let's join this one onto here, look. Can you join yours onto the end of there for me, Chloe, look. Just twiddle them around each other.
Oh, so you can see them better, you can twiddle different colours.
Oh, different colours, okay, that's a good idea. Okay, let's join some more on. So we should end up with you all joined together. Let's join that one on as well. Where's the other end of that one gone, Chloe? Okay. There we are. Is there another one up there? There's a few more up here. Look, there we are. Okay. You can join those on the end of here for me, Karis. Okay. So you should all be in a big, long pipe cleaner chain now, all fixed. And you are. That's brilliant. So, going same thing. Close your eyes for a minute. We're going to pray for each other. Pray for the people you're joined to at the moment. And the last one, take them apart. So get your own pipe cleaner back again. And then what I want you to do, make yourself a little bracelet, if it will fit. Just put it loosely round your wrist. See if I can do that. Yeah. Shall I fix that around for you? There we are. You do all now look like you've been to a slightly odd festival. Okay, and with that round your wrist, pray for the person it's fixed to. In other words, pray for you. Again, we'll just take a little minute as we've got, let me feel that round of the wrist. Let me pray, shall I? Father, thank you that you listen to all these prayers for our friends and for messed up places and for each other and for ourselves. Thank you, Father. Just as we can see these bright colours, you can see us praying to you now and you can hear us. Amen. You may keep your prayer pipe cleaner should you wish to. Then you can use it again and again. Let's sing again together, shall we please? Cornerstone. Stand up.
Please do stand.
darkness seems to hide his face. I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Savior's love through the storm. He is Lord, Lord of all.
Do please sit down. Perhaps those who are going out to different groups would like to make their way there now. Father, we have no words, really, for your generosity to us. We have no understanding about the cost of your love towards us. And these things, these offerings, we can only bring as a small gift to say thank you, which we do in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. David, come up and join me. So, for those who don't know, this is David Taylor from Thatcham Baptist Church. Now, David, because not everybody has been around forever, not everybody will know that you have a particular association with this church. What is it?
Well, yes. Before Richard came, I acted as the moderator, which is a very sort of weighty word, isn't it? But basically it means someone to help a church through the process of finding another minister. So, yeah.
We probably ought to fess up. We have another connection as well, don't we?
We do indeed. So a long time ago when I was a pastor in Croydon, I thought to myself, oh, I just would quite like to investigate different models of church leadership teams. So for some reason I ended up on Richard's doorstep thinking, because Richard had leadership all sorted out in his church in Teddington. So I thought, yeah, let's go and pay Richard a visit. And I don't think I took any notice, actually, to be honest.
So nothing changes then. Nothing. That's what's going on at Thatcham at the moment? What's encouraging you in your church at the moment?
Lots. I've nicked an idea from Newbury, but not this church, actually. Glendale Church have done something quite recently that I heard about and thought, oh, yeah, I think that might work well in Thatcham. So we're doing this thing called Food for Thought, which is basically we invite all our friends to an Italian restaurant, give them a two-course meal for free, and subject them to a little Christian talk on some subject.
That's going well?
It's going really well. Yeah, I'm really pleased that so far the number of Christians to non-Christians, the ratio has been heavily in favour of non-Christians. So that's been just guests, really. People have been invited along. And, yeah, we've had, what have we had so far? Well, the leader of our town council until recently was a member of our church, so he spoke on faith and politics, and someone who'd been an alcoholic and had come from a very difficult life and become a Christian talked about the change in his life. So, yeah.
Wow. It's been very good. Encouraging then.
Then we're having Christianity and Science in June, and then what it's like to be a Christian driving instructor in September.
I'm guessing some days that test your faith more than
indeed,
others.
Indeed, yes, that's right. Yeah.
And Dara, well, what are that's obviously very encouraging. What are some of the challenges, the sort of things that you are grappling with?
What are some of the challenges? I'm trying to think. I think just the challenge of living in a community that still doesn't really get what you're trying to say. Yeah, I feel a growing kind of... although we have loads of links into our community and loads of good stuff going on, but I feel that more and more we're sort of having to try to run to catch up with the growing ignorance of our faith in our community. So, yeah, I think evangelism is a huge challenge now.
So your mission field's stretching rather than shrinking.
Well, it's just the kind of depth of conversation you need to get into to get anyone to understand anything sometimes.
And just let's narrow it down. Let's say this week, you know, is there something in particular that we could pray for you this week?
This week, I'm going for physio. I've got a problem with my neck and back, which has been bothering me since January, so I'm going for physio, and that's nothing to do with church, is it?
It comes with carrying the church on your back, that's
true, yeah, that's it, yeah. What else this week? Where are we? I can't even think about this week. I get to Sunday and I just think, I don't know what's going on in the week. I look at my diary on Monday morning and find out. So, no, we do have... one of the real blessings at the moment is that I've got a new two new members on my staff team. And my children's and schools worker, Penny, she's doing really well. But Harriet, who is our intern... she's considering her future and she's just getting to the end of her time with us, ends in July, so we're in that space of what's next for Harriet and how do we explore that with her. Okay. And is she going to stay, is she going to go, what's going to happen to Harriet?
Okay, thank you, David. We'll hear a bit more from you a bit later on. Jackie's going to come and pray for us now. Thank you.
Here in the presence of our Lord, let's pray. Father God, we have so many countries in our world where people are in desperate need. We pray for these countries where there are such basic needs of even fresh water. That's something we take for granted. Thank you, Lord, for the presence of Christian workers in these countries, working together with the people so much in need. We pray for ongoing situations in Syria and other countries that may be out of the news, but still ongoing. We remember Australia and pray that the country settles quickly under the presidency of Scott Morrison. And we pray for Austria, where a snap election has been called. Closer to home, our Lord be with all the young people going through exams at this time. We ask that they will know your presence during these times. Thank you, our Father, for David as he comes to us to preach today. And we pray for David's work with the church and community in Thatcham. We bring before you the congregation there today, that they will know your love in all their work for the kingdom. And we pray for Heather as she makes the decision whether to stay or to go. In these changing times, we ask for your presence amongst us all as we vote in the European elections this week, and that your will be done. Father God, here at home, there are still many struggling with unemployment, homelessness, and many other difficult situations in the ongoing economic status here in the UK. We lift them up to you, Lord, and we pray that your presence in their lives will mean something to them today, tomorrow, and next week during their struggles. We'll now take a moment to remember others known to us individually at this time. Help us, O Lord, to fill our hearts with your Spirit and encircle us with your love. Lord, challenge us today and every day to be inspired by your word. Give us strength in our weakness and peace and love in difficult times. Help us to remember you are always present. It is us that moves. And above all, help us to retain you, our Lord, at the centre of our lives. Amen.
Please do stand as we sing.
Jeremiah chapter 12, verses 1 to 13. Jeremiah's complaint. You are always righteous, Lord, when I bring a case before you. Yet I would speak with you about your justice. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all the faithless live at ease? You have planted them and they have taken root. They grow and bear fruit. You are always on their lips, but far from their hearts. Yet you know me, Lord. You see me and test my thoughts about you. Drag them off like sheep to be butchered. Set them apart for the day of slaughter. How long will the land lie parched and the grass in every field be withered? Because those who live in it are wicked. The animals and birds have perished. Moreover, the people are saying, he will not see what happens to us. God's answer. If you have raced with men on foot and they have worn you out, how can you compete with horses? If you stumble in safe country, how will you manage in the thickets by the Jordan? Your relatives, members of your own family, even they have betrayed you. They have raised a loud cry against you. Do not trust them, though they speak well of you. I will forsake my house, abandon my inheritance. I will give the one I love into the hands of her enemies. My inheritance has become to me like a lion in the forest. She roars at me, therefore I hate her. Has not my inheritance become to me like a speckled bird of prey that other birds of prey surround and attack? Go and gather all the wild beasts, bring them to devour. Many shepherds will ruin my vineyard and trample down my field. They will turn my pleasant field into a desolate wasteland. It will be a wasteland parched and desolate before me. The whole land will be laid waste because there is no one who cares. Over all the barren heights in the desert, destroyers must form, for the sword of the Lord will devour from one end of the land to the other. No one will be safe. They will sow wheat but reap thorns. They will wear themselves out but gain nothing. They will bear the shame of their harvest because of the Lord's fierce anger.
Thank you, David.
Jeremiah chapter 12. Have you ever made a complaint that backfired on you? Or have you ever started a tricky conversation and then really wished you hadn't gone there? I guess we've all been in that kind of a situation. I'm really enjoying, I don't know about you, but I'm enjoying Line of Duty on TV. I'm watching it all on catch-up, but there's so many great examples of that kind of situation in Line of Duty. If you don't know the program, basically it's a team of anti-corruption officers in the police, and their job is to root out, so they're like the three musketeers really, they kind of root out injustice and evil in the police service wherever they see it. But then just occasionally their investigations lead to some sort of accusation against their own department, and then they really sit up and take notice. That kind of is where we are here in Jeremiah chapter 12. But what if the complaint is with God? What if the conversation that you're having is with God? Here's what it is with Jeremiah. He complains to God about the state of the nation. And God says, "You ain't seen nothing yet, boy." That's what he says. Well, I mean, that's my learned summary of the chapter anyway. You ain't seen nothing yet, boy. And yet it starts with this complaint. Jeremiah wasn't just banging on for the sake of it. Please don't think of Jeremiah as a kind of disgusted of Tunbridge Wells, you know, writing to the Telegraph and complaining about the latest little thing. This was personal for Jeremiah. He had poured his life into the spiritual transformation of this nation of Israel since he was young, and it looked like he'd wasted his time. Can you relate to that? I can. I wasn't actually prepared for that question Richard asked me just now about the challenges that I was facing, but that is what I feel, that the challenge of bringing the gospel to our communities is more and more difficult. Maybe it's just I'm getting older and more grumpy. But I feel like we just try so hard as Christians, don't we? We try so hard with so many things, and often we seem to make so little headway. And so let's see what Jeremiah's complaint has to say to us. I love the way that he starts. "You are always righteous, Lord." We are always allowed to bring our complaints before God, but when we do so, let's remember who he is and who we are. "You are always righteous, Lord." As Mother Basilea once put it, everything God does is love, even when we do not understand him. And here is Jeremiah's beef then. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all the faithless live at ease? We all ask that question, I think, at some point in our lives, don't we? Probably more than once. Why? Why do evil people get away with it? Why? When I was 18, my youth leader gave me Psalm 1 as a kind of a gift. He'd kind of done it in a nice way, and he gave Psalm 1 to me. And it's something that I've always tried to do since for people in my churches when they've hit 18. Because it's such a great psalm for the beginning of your life. And it basically says, commit your way to the Lord, obey God, and you'll prosper. The righteous will flourish like a tree planted by water. And if you want to live your life well, obey the Lord. And the wicked, well, they're going to be like the chaff that is swept away. So don't be like them. So it's a great thing to say to an 18-year-old. But the truth is, as you go on in life, it don't always seem that way, do it? Inspirational, but is it true? Jeremiah, for one, was having real doubts. He had seen King Josiah make great reforms. King Josiah was one of the last good kings of Israel, and he was contemporary with Jeremiah. And Jeremiah had seen that. He'd seen Josiah smash the idols, restore the true worship of God. Josiah had found the book of the law in the temple, and he had followed it to the letter. He'd done great. But then his son Jehoiakim, as so often happens in the Old Testament story of kings, the son comes along and completely undoes what his dad has done. And so that's what Jehoiakim did. He came along, just undid the good reforms of Josiah. And probably chapter 12 that we've just read comes from that time. To Jeremiah, it was clear that the reforms that Josiah had brought in were all superficial. They hadn't really got to the heart of the people. It was just like papering over the cracks. It was great at the time, but take the man out of the situation and the whole thing had slipped back. And Jeremiah's complaint, which is all about this, has such a contemporary ring, actually, doesn't it? Just have a look at verse 4. How long will the land lie parched and the grass in every field be withered? Because those who live in it are wicked, the animals and birds have perished. Could have been spoken by David Attenborough, couldn't it? What a contemporary ring that is. It was a shock this week, wasn't it? Did you see that report about the people who dived right down to the bottom of the Mariana Trench in the ocean and found litter? That was a shock. 7 miles down, we're polluting creatures that we didn't even know were there. How long is this going to go on? Do you know, even in the book of Revelation, right at the end of the Bible, the cry goes up, how long, Sovereign Lord, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth? And it is right and it is proper that we continue that cry until Jesus comes again. How long, Lord? It's painful to do that, but it's right to do that. But it was worse than that for Jeremiah. Jeremiah isn't just saying, why have you let this happen, God? In verse 2, he says, you have planted them, and they have taken root. In Jeremiah's opinion, God is active in this problem, not passive. If you ever take the bus, which I never do since I moved from London. In London, I used to take the bus every day. Here, I hardly know what a bus is anymore, really. But if you ever take the bus, I'm sure a few of you do, you'll be used to having one member of staff on the vehicle, the driver. But those of you with long memories will remember when, once upon a time, buses had two members of staff, the driver and the conductor. Remember bus conductors? Well, all the conductor did really was collect the fares and sort out any fights that broke out on the bus. In fact, the word conductor was a complete misnomer because he didn't conduct anything. It was the driver that conducts the bus. The conductor really just is there as a kind of referee. Presumably in future, buses will all be self-driving anyway, so there won't be any staff on buses, will there? I'm not going on those, by the way. I'm not, he said. But when we try to answer the problem of evil, you know, which is the most difficult question we have to struggle with, isn't it? We often talk as if God is only the conductor of the bus. That's how we often talk. He collects the fares and he sorts out the fights. And we say evil is down to free will. How many times have you said that to somebody? Evil is down to free will. As if God has taken his hand off the steering wheel of his world. But the Bible insists that God is the driver of the bus. He drives it from the garage to the terminus. And when we have complaints about the direction of travel or the behavior of our fellow passengers, we're to take it up with him. Jeremiah does that here. The Psalms do it all the time. You cannot read the Psalms without coming up against this. How long, O Lord? Why have you rejected me, O Lord? Why have you rejected us, O Lord? It's about a third of the Psalms are complaint Psalms like that. And Jesus, of course, most famously and most poignantly does it on the cross in the why question to end all why questions. Why have you forsaken me? So that is the kind of depth of Jeremiah's complaint. And now here is God's answer. And this is where Jeremiah might well have wished he'd kept his mouth shut. Because God's answer is worse than Jeremiah's question. It really is. God says, in effect, if you're upset by the state of the nation, Jeremiah, how are you going to cope with this? It's your own family. They're the heart of the problem. Jeremiah came from a priestly family in a town called Anatoth, and he's saying, your kin and kith. It's really much closer to home than you thought, Jeremiah. And if this rings bells with you, then you will sympathize with Jeremiah at this point. What a can of worms to have opened up. Imagine God telling you not to trust your own family. I read it in the Message version this week. At the end of verse 6, God says, don't trust them, especially when they're smiling. It's horrible, isn't it? It's horrible. But many Christians know what it is for their faith to cause family problems. There's a young woman that's been trying to attend our church now for about 6 months, since September. A bit more than that, 8 months, isn't it? And she's been stopped from attending church by her mother. This young lady is 18 years old. She is in her final year at school. And she's wanted to come to church. I mean, how many 18-year-olds, off their own bat, want to come to church without any encouragement from family? And this young lady has done. And so ironically and frustratingly for me, it's her very mother that has been saying, no, you are not going to that place. Because her mother's had a terrible experience with church herself in the past, not our church, but she's had a terrible experience in the past and doesn't want her daughter to experience the same. A few times, this young lady has rebelled and has come to church and has got into trouble afterwards. That's just a tiny little example, isn't it? We know of countries and situations that are far more serious than that, don't we? But we don't often really take much notice of these words of Jesus as we should. I have come, he said, to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Why pick that one out, Jesus? But he does. And the Lord leaves Jeremiah in absolutely no doubt what he is going to do to his unfaithful people. I'm going to forsake them. I'm going to abandon them. I'm going to give them into the hands of their enemies. He even says the word hate, which I have read one or two commentaries try to soften that word down a little bit. But that's what God says. I hate her. It's such strong judgment language. And God picks up Jeremiah's own complaint. Jeremiah complained about the birds and the animals dying in his David Attenborough moment. And God says he's going to use Israel's enemies like wild beasts to destroy her. Jeremiah bemoans the parched land. God says the people of Israel are going to be like a wasteland, parched and desolate. We know all this came true shortly afterwards, don't we? It's not long till the exile now. This all came true. It is time, says the Apostle Peter, for judgment to begin with the family of God. So what are you hearing here? What warning are you hearing for yourself, for your family, for your church, for your community? Because there is warning here. Whatever it is, don't ignore it, because God is not to be trifled with. You may be wondering at this point, is there any hope in this passage? Is there any hope in this message this morning? Well, to be honest, you have to read a bit further down in verse 15 for any concrete hope. But I do just notice two things in closing. First of all, that God himself suffers through the rebellion of his people. What he's saying to Jeremiah is, Jeremiah, your tragedy is a miniature of my own. I'm the one that suffers here. And that speaks to all of us, I think, when our families let us down, when they cause us embarrassment, or worse than that. God is not a distant God. The judgment that he brings is a judgment that he himself has borne. So that's the first thing, that God is with us when we experience judgment. And the second thing that is that even in judging his people, God insists that they do remain his people. He will not cast them off forever. They are his house. They are his inheritance. They are the one he loves. He will not finally reject them. Believe me, I know very well from my own experience just how painful God's discipline can be. And so do some of you. We know that. But if instead of resisting his hand, we let ourselves be trained by it and disciplined by it, as Hebrews chapter 12 says, it will achieve a harvest of righteousness and peace. It will. So yes, there is a hope of restoration here. It's only a glimmer, but 600 odd years later, it burst upon the world, didn't it? With all the glory of God. As the angels said, peace on earth, goodwill to men. And we're going to sing about that as we close. There is a hope. There is a hope. There is a hope.
Please do stand.
Is a hope that burns within my heart, that gives me strength for every passing day. A glimpse of glory now revealed for me, the heart yet drives all doubts away. I stand.
Mas is a hope that stands the test of time, that lifts my eyes beyond the beckoning day to see the matchless beauty of a day divine. When I behold His face, when suffering ceases and sorrows die, and every longing satisfied, then joy unspeakable will flood my soul, for I am truly whole.
Father, we thank you that that day is coming. And between now and then, send us in peace to love and serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.